So, who remembers that song from when it was actually out? And if you think about what it says in the very beginning, now I know that it's not a very spiritual thing, okay, but it fits in very well with the whole rhythm thing. But it says rhythm is a dancer. But rhythm, so if you're a dancer, does anybody here a dancer? Have you ever done dance? Right? And so rhythm's really important, isn't it? And so what they're talking about, rhythm's a dancer. So when you're dancing, rhythm is fundamentally important. And then what you do, and if you watch these people who dance, they're following the rhythm. You might be unfortunate enough to watch that Dancing on Ice program that's on a Sunday night. But if you watch ice skaters, and when they're doing their program, everything is choreographed to go in with the rhythm of the music, right? And so it says rhythm is a dancer, but then it says it's a soul companion. You can feel it everywhere. Lift your hands and voices, free your mind and join us. You can feel it in the air. But what I really liked about that, where it says that it's a soul companion. And if we get rhythm and it becomes like that companion, if we, do you know when you're with a companion, you spend a lot of time with them, don't you? And so, if we can get rhythm that way, and that we get into a rhythm, then that is going to be with us all the time. It becomes a pattern, it becomes a habit, it becomes something that we do on a regular basis. And so, every single one of us wants to live the good life, don't we? We do, right? We want to live a life that's full of meaning, that's full of purpose, full of beauty and love and joy. But when we live in the fast lane, because we've always got something and life's busy, do we really get to experience any of that? Or do we get to experience it the way that we wanted or the way that we've expected? And so therefore ask your question yourself, the question, are you disappointed? Is there disappointment in your life because you're not experiencing any of that? And so what I want to show us today through the life of Jesus is how to forge regular rhythms of slowing down, disconnecting from and quieting all the distractions so we can truly experience a preferred kind of life. Because I think, certainly when I gave my life to Jesus all those years ago, there was two options. Continue going the way that I was, or choose this more preferred kind of life. And so, faced with those two options, I chose this life. And I was actually dreaming about it last night. It wasn't great, but and I remember in my past, I remember having to go to court one day. And I had been charged with the same thing three times in a small space of time. And so we're in court. Me and my friends are sat there, there's four of us. And the stark reality was that if I had got found guilty that day, I was doing anywhere between 6 months and 2 years, and probably getting a £2,000 fine as well. And so to say that I was worried is a bit of an understatement, because I don't really think I would have adapted to prison life too well. And so I was nervous, I was worried, I was anxious, but on the other hand, I was still a wee bit cocky, as you are. And thankfully, I had a fantastic lawyer who saw this big gap in what the police presented. And there was some truth, but there was a lot of untruth. And so I got released, and I never ever got into, I said to myself that day, I will never get into trouble with the police again, which has never happened. And what a difference, isn't it? And do you want to live that kind of life? Or yeah. So there's a preferred life for us, isn't there? And I want to live that preferred life. And because, as I said this last week, the Lord has a plan for your life, but so does the devil. And if it was, the devil makes it look really good. Because if it wasn't appealing, nobody would begin down that road. But it tells us in scripture that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. So what kind of rhythm do you want to get into? Do you want to get into a rhythm with God or a rhythm with evil? And as I said, what I want to do is show you some of the ways that Jesus got into rhythm.
Thursday, my sister's mum buried the baby on Thursday. She was 8 months old. Yeah. She was only two conditions in this entire world. She was one of the children that had their own condition, but to come from the most respectful, loyal, to go to chapel, church every day, or not every day, more like every once every week, and everything. Questioning myself as to why has he taken somebody so good from such a good family. I can't.
So I think the question is this, Tina, is it, does being a good person mean that you'll get to go and spend eternity with Jesus? And without any disrespect to this family, you can be the nicest person in the world, but if you don't know Jesus, where is that? I don't think there's a problem for the baby. Yeah. My personal opinion, I think the baby will be there, you know, so I have no concerns that way. And so therefore, it shows you, do you want to live a good life or do you want to live a preferred life? And so if you think in Mark 1 verse 35, now Jesus is God. We know that. He's the Son of God. Okay, but he is God. But he still felt that it was important to have a rhythm in his life, a rhythm where he connected with the Father. But he says, I and the Father are one. But still, he had a rhythm, a regular rhythm, where he connected with the Father. And so Mark 1 verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Away from distraction. Early in the morning, while it's still dark. Nobody else knows where he was gone. It's not about doing it for attention. He doesn't want anybody else to be there. He just wants to go to a solitary place where he prayed. And what I'm thinking is, I was thinking about this the whole week, and I'm like, okay, so Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is the Son of God, but he's God. And yet, for him, he still had to have regular rhythms with God. And he had to forge rhythms where he slowed down, where he disconnected from and quieted all the distractions, where he could experience true intimacy with the Father. Because you don't experience that true intimacy when you're in the hustle bustle. You don't experience that true intimacy when he stood in a house and all the people from that region came for all them to get healed. So there's hundreds, possibly, of people all teeming around at the front door. You don't have peace. You don't have quiet. You're unable to disconnect. You're unable to quieten all the distractions. All this is going on. And so he regularly had a rhythm that made him regularly go and connect with the Father. And then, so I was thinking, well, there has to be, because that's just like a throwaway comment, isn't it? You're reading the Bible, right? You're reading, and Mark's gospel, as I've said to you before, it's like the James Bond gospel. It's really fast-paced, right? And so if you're into excitement and action, read the gospel of Mark. From the very outset, it's just 100 miles an hour. And then 35 verses into it, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Everything else is people manifesting demons in synagogues, people getting healed here, people getting healed there, all these people turning up at the door to get healed, and then very early in the morning, Jesus just away somewhere quiet to connect with the Father. And so there has to be a pattern for this, right? Because that's what we should be doing. And so what I want to do is encourage you, inspire you, motivate you to do the same based on the life of Jesus, because he's God and he still thought it was important. We're not. How much more important is it for us? You need to spend regular time with God. You need to spend time where you disconnect from and quiet all the distractions. Man, I get distracted so easily. I mean, unbelievably. I remember being at school, sitting, daydreaming, staring out the window. It didn't help that they would move my desk to the side of the room right at the window. It was great. For me. No, for them. And I'd just sit and I'd daydream looking out the window. And I still daydream now, all the time. And sometimes I just need to get rid of the distractions. So I discovered this thing, right? This is me letting you into a secret of a wee bit about who I am. And so whenever I'm preparing, and we were chatting with Caroline and Dean about this last night, but Charlene really likes to listen to classical music and it helps her to unwind and relax. And so if she's cooking or if she's tidying in the living room or whatever, she'll play classical music and it makes her feel relaxed. And I'm thinking, that sounds great. I want to do that. And I listen to it and it really, really irritates the life out of me. It gets me really, really frustrated because it just feels as if sometimes it's just no going anywhere. The 1812 overture is different, but other than so, but then I discovered this just in the last week to 2 weeks, and this is great. And you'll be like, are you serious? But this is what I listen to. Calming seas. Right now, I have to say, right, and you might be thinking, John, are you serious? But, won't stop. I put that on with my headphones, right, and I'm sitting preparing for Sunday. And that's who can hear. It's a playlist that keeps going for 11 hours. It doesn't take me 11 hours, please hear that, right? But I'll be sitting and I'll just hear it and I'm just like, oh. Because I don't hear anything else. And it just totally quietens everything else. And I love it. That works for me. That might drive you absolutely nuts. And I can see why it might. But it helps for me. And sometimes that's one of the ways that I can disconnect and quieten all the distractions. Every one of us, one way or another, I don't know what your thing is, but we need to quieten and disconnect from all the distractions. Jesus did it. We need to do it. In John chapter 6, verse 15, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. He just got away from it all. He got to a place where he would have headspace. In Scotland, there's a charity called Headspace, and they're designed for people who have depression, whether that's the very, very mild form that apparently everybody gets at some point in their life, right down to like bipolar disorder and stuff like that. And it's called Headspace. But every single one of us needs headspace. Jesus needed headspace. He got away from it all. He withdrew to a mountain by himself. And I'm thinking, he's the Son of God. If he needs to do that, how much more do we have to do that? But how many of us actually do that? Seriously, it's a serious question. Then, can you read that? And it says, Jesus went out as usual, I underlined that, right, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The two things that I want to highlight in this is Jesus went out as usual. It was something he did on a regular basis. It was a habit, or to fit in with what it is that we're talking about, it was a rhythm. It was a rhythm that he was in. He did it on a regular basis. While it was still dark, he withdrew to a solitary place, or he withdrew again to a mountain, or Jesus went out as usual, and it says he went to the Mount of Olives. Again, a mount, a high place, somewhere that's away from everywhere where other people are. And then it says that some of the disciples came with him, and then it says he withdrew. He even withdrew from them. He needed to be on his own. Sometimes we just need to be on our own to get a wee bit of headspace. Or there's another verse that I discovered in Luke 6 verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So Jesus had this rhythm that was quite a regular thing. And on this occasion, he spent the night praying to God. And so what I'm going to say to you is this, and this might be a wee bit challenging, but have you ever been in bed and you've actually been quite tired and thought, oh, can't wait? And through the night, you wake up completely out of the blue, bright as a button, and you don't know what to do. Why don't you take that opportunity to just go and sit on a chair, or you don't need to kneel, all right? But just go and sit somewhere on your own and just have a wee opportunity to talk to the Father. It's dark. You've withdrawn from everybody else. You're in a solitary place because you're on your own. And it might just be an opportunity that you get because you might not get it at any other point. And what I'm trying to say to you is take that opportunity when you've got it. While that is made available to you, take it.
One of these days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that night, we don't know, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
God could be present with him.
But we're going to see that there's other ones as well. Okay? But, again, doing this on a regular basis, getting to connect with the Father, this is where you get peace. This is where you recharge your batteries. You know what? We asked everybody before, do you have a smartphone, right? Smartphones are notoriously bad for charge. They don't hold their charge very long. iPhones, probably a day, right? You try and go into it the second day, you're not getting very far before you need to charge your phone. Samsungs are quite the same. They're very similar, and we have a lot of fun about it, don't we, Sharon? Because she has a Samsung. We pray for her regularly. And what happens is that the two of them have pretty much the same kind of battery life. There might be a difference of an hour or two or whatever, but you need to recharge the battery or it'll stop working. We need to recharge our batteries or we'll stop working or we won't work the way that we're meant to. And so even if you're not spending time with God, I would encourage you to do that. But there are some times you just need to get away from everything. Sometimes you just need to pull back. Sometimes you need to pull away from the crowd and just spend some time on your own. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Often. That suggests to me that this was a regular occurrence. It is a regular rhythm that he had. We need to have a regular rhythm like that. Because being a Christian and interacting with people in society who aren't, we expect things to happen, don't we? Don't we? You expect to see people at least ask you questions. You're one of them Christians, aren't you? And then our cover's blown. And we say we are. And then they ask you to pray for them. Or you get the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Would you not love it that the people that you're talking to, they start coming here? Or they start going to church? And that their lives totally change? But why should we expect God to do that if we are not setting up or forging regular rhythms with him? Where we spend time with him every day so that he can empower us. Because that's what happens when Jesus goes and bees with the Father. He is being empowered regularly, every day, often, regularly. And we need to do the same. Yep.
And they want to explore this rhythm.
Yep.
Where think then maybe we could tell them here.
Yep. And then just tell them about what your rhythm is and show them what that is, and then they might, well, we might try that.
You're true, what you're saying. Everybody has their off time and needs space.
But is everybody's rhythm a good rhythm?
Yeah. No.
Because you can get into bad habits and bad rhythms, don't you? So in my previous life, in a life of addiction, my rhythm was really, really negative. My rhythm was that every day when I eventually got up, it was then to go and get a drink. That was my rhythm. Every day. Without fail, there wasn't a day that that didn't happen. That was not a good rhythm. Felt great at the time, but I had a need that needed to be met. And so now, my rhythm is completely different. And the rhythm that I forge now is with Jesus. And it's not to get up and go and get a drink, but it's to get up and go and get a different kind of drink from him and spend time with him and recharge my batteries and be filled again and empowered again so that I can then go and do the will of him that called me. That's the plan. That's the rhythm that I want to be in. Mark 6. Verses 46 to 48 says this, and on mine I have this underlined, after leaving them, right? So you could underline leaving them, because he went away from them. He went up on a mountainside to pray. Again, he leaves the disciples, like, see ya, I'm off, away up the mountain to pray. Then it says, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, because he'd told them that he would see them at the other side. And so they started to sail across. He went up to pray on the mountain. Says then the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. Again, you could highlight alone because he was himself. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. Walked on the water. And he was about to pass them by and then everything kicks off and then Peter ends up walking on the water and the whole thing, right? But before that happened, Jesus went up a mountainside on his own because he left them to be himself. He forged regular rhythms where he would spend regular time on his own with the Father away from everybody else. But when you read the Gospels, you always see the interaction with the 12, you see the interaction with Mary and Martha, you see the interaction with Lazarus, you see the interaction with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. We hear all this thing. We hear about the woman caught in adultery, and he has that to deal with. You know, we see people who have died, and he goes and he raises them from the dead. And you're thinking, he was able to do all of that because he forged a rhythm with the Father. So when the opportunity, he made time, he made himself available to go and be with the Father on his own. He would leave them to go to a mountainside to pray. At daybreak, morning, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. They were trying to monopolize his time. And sometimes it was a good thing why they wanted him, but sometimes it wasn't. You know, there was the one time where they tried to push Jesus off the cliff and he just walked through them. I'd love to see how he did that. Because when there's a crowd of people coming against you, it says they were gnashing their teeth at him. They're all going, charging at him. So they were angry and they're going to try and push him off a cliff. And it says he just walked right through them. Like, how do you do that? That's amazing. That's incredible. And so sometimes he just had to get away from people. So at daybreak, in the early morning, when it was still dark, like it said in one of the other verses, he would go away to a solitary place where he could be on his own. But he was in that much demand, it says that the people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. They wanted to restrict his movement. And they wanted that in a good way, because they just wanted more of him. But he had so many different places and so many different people that he had to go to. And so while their intentions were good, for him, they weren't. And so that's why he had a regular rhythm that he could go and spend time with the Father. Then in Matthew 14:23, this was my preferred one out of every single one of them. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. Sometimes we just need to withdraw. Do you always want to do that? No. But for your sanity, sometimes you just have to. Sometimes you just have to get away from everything. We all have to do that at some point in our lives. And so, think about it. The Son of Man had to get away from it all. How much more do we have to get away from it all? He forged regular rhythms of slowing down. So it'd be great if it was written in our modern day language, wouldn't it? In terms of, because it's translated from Greek, right? But can you imagine this nowadays? Because there would be a lot of time relaxing, because they walked some distances. Didn't you have cars and trains and buses? They walked everywhere. So they would have been exhausted. And then if you've ever done any kind of ministry, it's tiring. And so Jesus is doing this all the time. The 12 are doing this on a regular basis. So you would be tired. And so sometimes you had to forge regular rhythms of slowing down. And Jesus did that. He disconnected from everything and everyone. Do you know what I love? Every Sunday in the morning, I get this thing on my phone. And it comes up and it tells me, you bet you it's not there now. And it tells you how much you've been on your phone for that whole week. And it tells you what the average is for every day. Sometimes it's a bit scary. My goal is to bring my daily and weekly average down. I don't want my life to be dictated by my phone. Now, my phone's like my office in my pocket, right? But still, it's a gadget. I like gadgets. you probably noticed. But they're no there to... I'm no there to serve them. They're there to serve me. And sometimes these types of things can dictate our lives. And so what do you do? How do you disconnect from everything and everyone? What do you do? Where do you go? How do you do that? Jesus took himself to a quiet place away from all the distractions. So last year, Noah and I were very close to booking to go to this place to stay. And it's no very far away. It's about an hour away. Noah was gutted that we would even contemplate going to this place. Beautiful, like stunning, right beside the ocean. You know, just absolutely breathtaking, really peaceful, no restaurants, nothing. But the key thing for Noah was no internet. Got it. It turned out that the place was completely booked for ages and we couldn't go, but that was the plan. And the plan was just to get away from it all. To get away from everything for 2 days. And I'm like, you couldn't cope with it, the internet. I'm the one that gets like 40 emails a day, know him. You know, I'm the one who's regularly communicating with people through, know him, but he was the one that couldn't do it because he was going to miss the internet. What do you do to disconnect from everything and everyone? Jesus took himself to that quiet or solitary place to get away from all the distractions. Peace and quiet. So, earlier on I said that we want to live the good life, full of meaning, full of purpose, beauty, love, and joy. Are you experiencing any of that? Are you experiencing that to the extent that you want? Or are you experiencing that to the extent that you expected when you gave your life to Jesus? And therefore I want you to think about this. What are you missing? What can you do to get back to that place? And then lastly, who or what is your focus? Because last week our slide had, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if we seek him, if we seek the king, and his will, his righteousness, then all those things, the good life, full of meaning, full of purpose, full of beauty, love, and joy, they'll all be added to us as long as we're seeking the King. But then the questions become much more simplistic than that, don't they? Think about it. How do you slow down? What do you do? So, you need to slow down. You're doing too much. You're rushing about 100 mile an hour. So what do you do to slow down? Well, you stop doing stuff. That seems really obvious, but then people are still like, well, what do you do? How do you do that? Where do you go to do that? How do you disconnect? Because if you're anything like me, if you disconnect, and this is serious, right? That this is how I think. If I disconnect from everything, I'm feared in case I miss something. Do you understand that? You get that, don't you, Caroline? That's why you laughed. Right? But if you disconnect, you're frightened in case you miss something. I'm really like that. Or, how do you quiet all those distractions? How do you filter them out? And your distractions and my distractions might be something completely different. Jesus had other distractions. I'm glad I don't have the ones he had. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. And then the devil appears to him and he's tempted for 40 days. He fasts and he's tempted. I'm like, what? I don't want that. So we think we've got it bad. He had it much worse. So what do you do? How are you quieting all the distractions? As I said before, the enemy's got a plan for your life, as much as God does. But if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we're on the right path. That's what we need to do. That's our preferred life. That's your preferred future. Because there are two futures for your life. And it's up to you to decide which one of those futures that you want to take. It's not for me. It's not a difficult choice. While the choice isn't difficult, pursuing it and forging a regular rhythm to pursue it is where the challenge comes in. And I would encourage you to establish some regular, even daily rhythms. And try, and it might seem like, oh, but John, that's like a timetable from school. It might start off like that. But somebody said to me one time, they said, John, what starts in the flesh ends in the spirit. Because you're setting up this discipline, this rhythm that you want to adhere to and follow in order to get closer to Jesus. And so you might have to start by making some decisions that are going to be quite challenging. But anything that's worth doing is never easy. And so if you want to get closer to Jesus, if you want to experience more of him in your life, if you want to live in that life of expectancy, then we need to forge rhythms with him. We need to start making some daily rhythms. Do you want to stand? I'm going to ask a really, really honest question, and if you shut your eyes when we do this, just so that everybody doesn't see, just to be honest, right? So I'm going to ask you to put your hands up to this question, right? But I want everybody to close their eyes when I ask it so they can see who did put their hand up. Who finds it really, really difficult to establish that kind of daily rhythm on a daily basis? So I'm going to tell you this, right? More than 3/4 of the people in this room just put their hand up. So you need to know that when it comes to you establishing a daily rhythm, you're not a bad person. Because you think in your head, man, I'm awful, I'm the only person that's finding this really difficult. Because we sometimes get like that, don't we? Kind of like when you read a chapter or you read a paragraph in a book and you don't pick it up and you need to read that same paragraph again and then you need to read it again. Do you know that you're not the only person that does that? But people don't like to talk about that. Do you know that when you yawn, you get tears in your eyes? And you're like, oh, people are going to think I'm crying. We all get tears in our eyes when we yawn. We just don't talk about them things. Right? And so we all find it really difficult to establish these daily rhythms. None of us, I don't think, find it absolute breeze. But it's something that we need to work at. And like I said, anything that's worth doing is never easy. So can I pray for us that we get motivated, that we have inspiration to do that this week? Because I gave you the challenge, 15 minutes daily reading on your Bible, 15 minutes talking to God. That's not a long time, but it feels like it. It's an episode of EastEnders, and I mean, that's not worth it. If you like EastEnders, I apologise. Life feels great after watching an episode because it's all depressing. But will we pray? I want us to be able to do this. I want us to be able to be rhythm as a dancer. It's a soul companion. I want that. I want rhythm as my companion every day. Do you?
I could
sing
that song.
Eh?
I could sing that song.
So, but it just sets that wee thing, doesn't it?
It does.
So you'll remember that now.
Yeah.
I want rhythm as my soul companion. So it's maybe not a good song for you to remember that way. Might put a different spin on it. Yeah. So Father, I pray and ask now in the name of Jesus that you would inspire us, that you would motivate us and you would encourage us to establish daily rhythms. 15 minutes every day just reading your word, learning more about you, getting to know who you are, and then 15 minutes talking to you. I pray and ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would lead us to a place where we sacrifice something else to seek the one that sacrificed himself for us. And I pray, God, that like your word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I pray, God, that we could seek the king and his kingdom and get to know his will and pursue that. And as we do that, I pray that all these things would be added to us. But Lord, help us to put you first and that our daily rhythm would be about focusing on Jesus. And we ask these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.